Welcome to Self-Proclaimed Intellectual.
You've just got a smile and hang out with intelligent people.
Hi, Travis.
Hey, Adam. Good morning.
Hi. It is early.
Well, this is the first installment of our new podcast, Self-Proclaimed Intellectuals, which is what we are.
And I am intellectual.
he would say that himself. That's the entire point of the
show. I have never heard anybody say it about me.
It's kind of a weird thing for people to say, you know?
Yes.
You know, you're awfully intellectual today.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, since it's new,
yes.
Shall we go ahead and introduce ourselves and some of the content of what we're going
to
talk about?
Try to convince our audience that we are intellectual.
That's right. It's going to be something else.
I would say I'm intellectual on paper.
What do you even mean by that?
I have a master's degree.
Oh yeah, I do too.
There you
this
go.
This is okay. Good enough.
I feel that my intellectualness did not come from that though. But maybe that's a topic for some other time.
Yeah, save that. We gotta don't bleed ourselves dry of content right here at minute one.
Yes.
Very cool. So
I'll let you start. Oh. I'll let you start.
Okay. Very good. Well, hey, I'm Travis Lane, and I run a blog at travislane.com, which was a fun time to get. I work as a stress engineer currently, and I have my engineering degree and MBA, and some of my passions are self-development, some of the stuff that we're going to talk about on here. I just love Adam, and you know,
that's a good start.
I'm married, and I'm expecting my first son.
Now, I would like
months.
To clarify, because those two sentences, I love Adam, and I'm married.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
let's
clarify. I'm married to a female wife who is biologically capable of carrying a son.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So there we go. And that's me. I like to try to make my life better and help other people do the same. So hopefully this podcast will help with that too.
Very good. I am Adam Dreher. I teach fifth grade. This will be my ninth year of teaching, which doesn't seem right.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I've been teaching that long. I've noticed as an adult that at a certain point, I just don't grow mentally. At least I don't grow older mentally. I still feel like I'm stuck about 9 years ago. So,
is your wife okay with that?
Yeah, she thinks I'm stuck a lot farther back than that, but that's okay.
Keeps you young.
Yes. I got my master's a few years ago in curriculum and instruction. One of the biggest things I learned from that is questioning and trying to question the way we do things and not just do them because we do them. And I think podcasts are fun.
That's you and me both.
So, I my whole purpose for this, the great thing about what I think this podcast has already done for me is just making me sit down and actually read some stuff, learn some stuff, and look into some things. And I just hope that's what people get from this is just wanting to become a little more intellectual, think about a little more deep things throughout your day instead of weather. Speaking of which, it was beautiful this morning.
It is. Yeah. Great. Let's we're already we're what, 3 minutes and 20 seconds in and just
so,
done.
How's the weather?
It is a beautiful day. Let's use that as some motivation to make our amazing podcast.
Yes. Yes.
So, okay, well, why don't we talk about some of the segments that we're going to do regularly on this show. The show, at least as we plan it right now, is going to be a half-hour show, bi-weekly, and it's going to be composed of three segments, three 10-minute segments, and we're going to have recurring segments, and then the topics will change, obviously, from episode to episode. So, Adam, why don't you introduce a couple of those segments that we're going to do and tell us a little bit about them.
One of our segments is, I'm attempting to stop that. One of our segments is what's news, because we need news in a podcast, right? I mean, everybody needs news.
So. Maybe I don't know. Is that something we should question, Mr.?
Well, I think I need news because you know. Maybe everybody else gets news all they need, but we don't have a normal TV. All we watch is Netflix and. I pretty much never see the news, so I guess I need more news in my life.
Okay.
I didn't realize our president's name was Barack Obama.
Isn't that crazy?
I didn't even know that.
You're telling me that we have a black president named Barack Obama?
Yes. I just learned that yesterday when I started researching for this podcast. Because I actually hadn't looked at news for
that's,
at least
that's good. The last I was familiar years. With was like Millard Fillmore?
Yes.
So, yeah, it's been a while. I think I missed a few in between.
But that will be one of our segments, is simply us finding some news articles we find interesting and discussing them.
Another one of our segments is going to be Philosophmores, which, Philo, Love, Sophomore, or wait, what is it? Sophomore is Wise Fool, and, Philo is Love, whatever. Etymology aside, it's kind of a play on words.
So maybe that's, and one of the things I'm going to be honest with in this podcast is my, non-intellectualness on many things. I never knew that about sophomores.
Yeah, man.
So you're a freshman, yeah. You're just an idiot. And then you become a sophomore, right. And you're a wise fool.
Yeah, it's all like they throw that one Greek one in there. And what the heck, man?
Do the rest of them not mean cool things like that?
Well, I mean, I think junior, senior, and freshman are pretty self-explanatory.
Okay.
I could be wrong. Yeah, maybe a listener will.
I just always assume them as names.
Maybe a listener will call in and correct us.
You're assuming we have listeners.
Yeah, that's right. The first person to call in and complain about something, you get like a free T-shirt or something. I think we can hook that up.
I think we can do that.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. So Philosophmores is going to be part of the show where we talk about philosophical ideas, concepts, and we say our love of knowledge, even if we don't have much.
Mm-hmm.
So part of what we want to accomplish with this podcast is helping people think a little bit deeper, even if we're wrong, even if we say stupid things. If it makes you think about something you haven't thought about before, then it's a win, I think.
Yeah, we never claim to be knowledgeable, despite the fact that we call ourselves intellectual.
Just interesting. how about the next one, Adam?
Near the Fringe is going to be another one of our segments that I think will be very interesting. I've read a lot of interesting ideas. I feel on a number of things I claim myself a conspiracy theorist. So Near the Fringe will be anything wild, anything different, anything that people just don't talk about or are afraid to talk about, or have never even thought about because it's just kind of different.
I like it. It's going to be good. I think that will inspire many conversations.
Hopefully.
Very good. So another one we're going to have is Stop Sucking, which is a perhaps politically incorrect way of saying the self-improvement portion of the blog. This is probably going to have ties in with my website, where I talk about personal growth, self-development. So just things that to think about to make your career better, your health better, your studies better. Things that are going to improve you as a person is
the idea. When you brought that up, when you typed "stop sucking" in there, I assumed this was a vacuum maintenance portion.
Well, that could be part of it. I mean, that could really advance your career.
That stop sucking. Yeah,
resume sucking.
Start sucking.
Yes, the vacuum arts are lost. There's high demand for that in our culture today. Yeah. How about the next one, Adam?
Next one I feel will be a very fun one, and it is called Blindsided, because we will ask each other questions that we do not know are coming. It's a pretty simple concept. I think the first few will be very interesting, and then beyond that, we'll just probably start a contest to see who can get the craziest question to make the other person feel the most awkward.
You know, this would be a great section to do with guests, too. Yeah, bring them on and say, "Hey, don't prepare anything. We're gonna ask you some stupid question."
Yeah, yeah, like we'll invite some highly intellectual, person with all sorts of experience, and we'll just ask them about, if you were a flower, which flower would you be?
Yes, Dr. Dawkins. Has anyone ever gone so far, even as to do what more like?
Have you ever rollerbladed?
Okay. Great. It's already fun. That's provided more entertainment than anything else. Okay, and then we have a couple more that we'll introduce over time, such as Guest in Time, where we'll bring a guest on the show, an interesting person with an even equally as interesting topic. Anytime I make a grammar mistake, it's on purpose. Just acknowledge that for the rest of the course of the show.
Yes.
And then we would have Thought du Jour, which of course mixes in French there. Man, it's already, it feels good already. Mm-hmm. We got French and we got Greek. It's pretty potent.
I actually Googled de jour just to make sure that that you are correct.
Yes.
It seems that you are correct. So.
Soup du jour. those topics that we can't shoehorn into anything else. So, and a couple other segments that we may add or take away and over time. So.
Yes. I one of them including Fandemonium, which I feel that our podcast might have to have multiple subtitles because we are also self-proclaimed interesting people. Maybe other people don't think we're interesting. Maybe,
we'll prove ourselves wrong.
Maybe we're jumping ahead of ourselves having one called something about fans. Uh-huh. So maybe at least our wives will call in.
There we something. Go. Yeah, it'll be conspicuous. The same two women call in week after week.
If my wife ever tries to ask me a question about the podcast, I'm just gonna ignore her. Maybe write on a piece of paper, "You need to call in with that question."
Yeah,
and just refuse to talk to
you know
her.
What you're gonna, you know what you're gonna get, right? She'll stop listening.
I know. I shouldn't run away my first thing.
Well, so that's what we're going to cover in this show. At least that's the plan right now. We hope you'll stick with us if there's anyone out there listening to this. Okay, and let's just jump right in, Adam.
Well, then we're going to go to our first segment right after our message break. No. We don't have any people interested in paying us money right now. So, but we apologize for the future when we become so popular that we do have to have message breaks.
I mean... podcasters got to make money somehow.
It'll happen. At some point, we will probably have at least 15 message breaks per episode.
per 30 minutes? That's a good ratio.
Yes.
that's what you get like watching TV. So.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, neither of us would know that.
I don't watch cable. Netflix.
Netflix is our first sponsor.
That would be amazing.
Oh, yeah, man.
Our first segment is...
Philosophmores.
Philosophmores. We decided to kind of go deep, I guess, for our very first segment. And it is about a subject that every junior high school student kind of gets into a little bit because they want to be able to say what they want. It is about cussing. You know, you always have those young kids and they're just like, I can say all, I can cuss because it's just a word.
That's right.
And that's their whole reasoning behind it. They want to be able to say bad words because it's just a word. But we want to get in a little more and kind of see what cussing is and maybe between us discuss what we think about it.
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe they're right. Maybe it is just a word, you know? It's the same sounds of the letters and syllables. And
I know this isn't maybe going good for our first podcast, but I want to stop us there real quick and do mention that we have not... pre-planned exactly what we were going to say here. Pretty much what we have done on our segments is plan our topic. We do our own research and we just discuss. So it'll be interesting to see how this goes because we really have absolutely no direction.
Yeah, we took the first rule and we broke it. And that was how we started this podcast. Yes. Especially that blindsided segment. It's like, you know, take everything you think about preparation and just toss it right in the garbage.
Because preparation takes time and... I don't have that.
We don't get time for time.
I don't have time to prepare.
So tell us about cussing, Adam. What do you think about it?
Do you want to know what I just think before or after my slight amount of research?
Let's hear the research, man.
You know what it comes down to me is purpose. I feel what is your purpose behind these things you're saying? The research that I saw, the majority of the research that I saw focused on. Using it as a relief for pain.
I have heard that too. Tell us, I'll give that a little bit. There was a Keele University study, K-E-E-L-E. I don't know how reputable that is. Maybe, you know, the dean of Keele University can become a fan and call it. Keele University, sponsor number two, Netflix and Keele University. They engaged in a study that shows that cussing relieves pain. And their methodology for this, I thought it was kind of interesting. A lot of the methodology for these studies makes me think, who came up with this, you know?
Yes.
But basically, they had one group of people hold a cup full of ice, really cold, and see how long their pain tolerance lasted out before they had to drop it or put it down. And then they had another group do the same thing, except they were allowed to cuss.
Yes.
And their pain tolerance was much greater.
Well, and I wonder, I didn't have the university who did the experiment, but I had one that was cold water. So I wonder if it was the same one or a similar.
Ice is essentially just cold water.
But they, so. I thought they had put their hand in it. Either way, I was at a Titanic museum,
uh-huh.
And they had a part of the part of it was just this big, I don't know what to call it, tube of water that was the temperature of the water that the Titanic was in. And you put your hand in it and see how long you can last. And I did not cuss. Maybe I should go back and just start cussing despite the family, you know, isn't Branson.
Yeah, time yourself.
Just tell everybody that it's an experiment and start yelling and cussing. But it was cold. And I lasted not very long.
Uh-huh.
And what was interesting about this study, and like I said, I think it's probably the same study, but they said, I'm gonna ruin it for everybody. They said that by swearing, they were able to last 40, what I saw was 40 seconds longer on average.
Wow.
I couldn't keep my hand in that Titanic water for 20 seconds. Hmm. So if it was a similar situation, that it was an impressive length of time that you're able to add.
Rose is getting pulled out of the water. That's why she was very potty mouth. You think she was a lady, but no, they didn't show that in the movie.
But yeah, their research did show that by swearing, you were able to last longer.
So, that was pretty awkward phrasing, Adam. I'll let that one slide by.
So I'm going to test that out. No, so on my runs or on my exercise, maybe the next time I go to the Y, I'm at the end of my run and I'm in pain. I'm just going to start swearing.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Really loudly.
I think so. You know, it's like the gym grunt guys. Yeah. You're lifting this weight and then Adam on the treadmill just letting word vomit.
I will say that I am not a swearer. At least vocally, I do. If I was honest with myself, silently in my mind, when if I stub my toe, I am saying things. Does that make it right if you do it silently?
Yeah, no. Good question. So I was curious where curse words came from. What makes a word a curse word? You know, like I said earlier, the same consonant and vowel and syllable sounds are used in other words. And what I found was there are several things, and they all kind of reference something that's dirty or taboo, right? So bodily functions, right?
Mm-hmm.
The S word. This is really awkward to do on like a you know, clean segment.
That's what I was going to say.
You should just add a whole bunch of unnecessary censorship to this.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Okay, yeah, okay. So a lot of bodily functions, sexual acts or references, and derogatory animals. And there are different types of cursing, and those are some of the different ones. I use different words. They had really fancy words. I think there were 5 categories that you could find just on Wikipedia from some guy that
just
classified
the
them. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, some of them are calling people an animal, like a dog or a donkey that is stubborn or otherwise lowly. And so that's where sort of the, you know, the negative aspect comes from.
You know what I find? Those are the words themselves. Did you look up at all the purposes behind?
Not so much.
Why people cuss?
Why don't you enlighten us?
It was interesting in what I saw, and I did find one blog that. Oh no, it wasn't a blog. It's kind of hard to say. It was. I don't know if it was technically super scientific. I don't know. But it was one blog that gave a lot of reasons why you should cuss. And although a few of them made sense to me, I thought that a few of them were a bit ridiculous. But the biggest one I found scientifically was pain relief. And I will read this quote because I did find it interesting from Steven Pinker. That I suspect that swearing taps into a defensive reflex in which an animal that is suddenly injured or confined erupts into a furious struggle, accompanied by an angry vocalization to startle and intimidate the attacker. So if you jump out of that closet and scare me, and I yell, holy it's a reflex not only out of fear, but maybe out of hope, say, if I yell and scream, and if it's something, whatever I say would also startle you, startle an attacker. It's kind of an interesting concept that it comes just from the animal instinct. But the interesting thing about that is, although if it is an animal instinct, is let's say out of that fear or out of that anger, I yell, holy grass blade. It doesn't have the effect.
Right.
So there is something to the actual words you use. It's not just a angry vocalization, as he put it. It is angry vocalization of a very specific word that actually helps. If I stub my toe and I yell...
Chihuahua paste.
Yeah, it's not going to help me. It's probably going to make me angrier because I'm trying to cover up what I really feel.
It might make you laugh and distract you from the pain.
It might.
That's something for everyone to try. Seriously, that's brilliant.
Try yelling just random words.
That's right.
Well, that brings up a whole other topic of if we agree, and I feel most people do agree. Well, I don't know. I'm not going to put words in people's mouths, but that cussing is wrong, or swearing is bad to some degree, at least in certain social situations.
Sure.
Especially maybe for children. Is it bad to replace that word? You hear, like, I remember very clearly in a junior high basketball game, one of my friends had gotten on the habit of replacing with fudge.
Mm.
And anytime he'd get angry, he'd yell, fudge! The problem is that it's kind of close to the original. And
which is the intent, of course, yes.
And is it, if you're just going to replace a swear word with a different word, but using it for the same purpose, is that okay?
Yeah, what's really the difference with gold darn it, you know? Yeah. Who cares?
Yeah, I mean, if you're gonna get that close, should you just say it? Or is it still bad? I remember, though, he didn't get completely kicked out of the game, but he did get called out on it.
Teed up, man.
Because the ref thought he had said the real thing.
I see. See, so when I was thinking about this exact thing, because what's the difference between, you know, the word fish and whatever other curse word you pick out. And it kind of made me think of, you know, George Orwell, 1984. They had the whole language, the Newspeak dictionary and stuff, uh-huh. where they were replacing words that they didn't want people to have concepts for. So instead of bad, they had ungood, because they didn't want people to think negatively, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of the same thing, where you need words to express emotions or concepts, and maybe we need those words, otherwise we wouldn't be able to get out that frustration.
Yeah, and I agree, and like I said, I feel that comes back to, for me, the purpose behind it. You have your, and I know we're stereotyping, but you have your young kids who decide to start swearing just because it's what they were told not to do.
Yes.
And why are you swearing? What is the purpose behind what you're saying there? And if it's just to do it because it's socially wrong and you want to make the authorities angry at you, okay.
Anarchy by mouth.
Swearing probably not the best thing in the world. But I do agree with some of those studies that when I get hurt or something I want to say a swear.
It allows you to express your strong pain with strong language. And maybe that's cathartic at some level.
Yeah, right? And I'm going back to these reasons, these purposes that I found. Pain relief, express anger. I found this one funny. Non-violent retribution.
Oh, yeah.
But the problem is, if I non-violently retribute towards you,
is that okay?
That's going to make you want to be violent towards me. If you go up to somebody in a bar that you're kind of having an argument with you, and you start swearing at them and to try to get back to them in a non-violent way, that's going to create some violence.
It may just escalate into a fist fight.
I don't think you are both just going to probably swear at each other and be okay with it. Swear at each other for 10 minutes and then stop and say...
Let's shake hands. Yeah.
Well done.
Good exchange, sir.
Your swear words really beat me down. The other ones were humor. This person just said, blatantly said, you should swear because some people will find it amusing.
Yeah.
So, what if, you know, we go back to the old Three Stooges and, you know, people find it amusing if I slap you over the head right now. Should we do more of that within our society? So maybe I'll start trying that in the classroom. Kidding?
Angry letters incoming. Here we go. This is good. So the last thing that I wrote down on the topic was just, I found it hilarious how matter of fact the Wikipedia articles were for some of these, you know, some of the more popular standard deck of curse words. For instance, here's a description of we'll see if you can figure it out. But as a portmanteau of two other words, this word became popular after its usage in the 2004 film Along Came Polly. It refers to an undesirable situation where one intends to pass gas, but expels diarrhea instead. It's just so typical Wiki, matter of fact. And so I was cracking myself up reading about these.
Did you do a lot of research into where those words originated, some of our current swear words?
Sure, and they're just, it seems like they're just like any other word, you know? For the most part, it was passed down from some Germanic or Greek language. And
I don't know if it's true at all.
Yeah.
This could be totally false, but I read a few times the original where the word came from.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the what I read. Like I said, this could be totally made up, but I don't care because it was so interesting. We're just gonna roll with it. Manure,
huh?
When it was shipped in boats, could cause issues because of the fumes and things that came in.
Yeah, sure.
And so they had to ship it high because if it was really low in a specific spot, it could create some gases and
pressure build up. Yeah.
So they had to ship it high in transit.
I see.
And then they would shorten that. SHIT.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And that's where it started.
Well, I have heard it. That's definitely Snopes-worthy.
That's a good idea. And see, the interesting thing about that is I found it so interesting, I decided not to decide if it was, look up if it was true. Because
it doesn't matter.
I would be disappointed if it wasn't true. And so I'm just going to roll with it.
You just go with that, yeah. Man. Okay. Very interesting. So yeah. Cussing relieves pain. It's culturally biased. You know, an American curse word is... It's just an American word. There's no power in the sounds of the words themselves.
It is. And that's, you know, I read that every culture has them, your specific words. And that's, I feel a lot of people have gotten in trouble because you go to a different country and the words that you say maybe on a normal basis and yours aren't good in another one.
That's right.
And
well, and bodily signs too.
Yes.
For instance, I went to France a little bit ago, and I think it's the peace sign backwards. It's the equivalent of flipping the bird in the U.S.
Wow.
It's something like that. But yeah. You get the picture that different hand signs, too, can mean different things.
And I am going to start flipping people off more as a nonviolent way of you know, saying I'm angry.
Great. I think that's great.
Because I used to just punch a lot of people.
Uh-huh.
And so I decided I'm going to start swearing more.
Yeah. Well, there you have it.
That is our first segment ever. Swearing. That was an interesting one to start with.
It was it's so awkward. Like I just wanna say.
I know, I do, but I feel I personally, and I'm not posing this on anybody else, but I personally feel stupid when I swear. Because I never have.
Yeah. I see.
And I feel if I would, it would be a complete just attempt to try to be cool.
Sure.
And I would just feel like an idiot. Gotcha. And, you know, a lot of times when a lot of people swear, I get kind of annoyed with it. But you know what's interesting is very, very specific people I find amusing.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever listened to the Joe Rogan Experience podcast.
Uh-uh.
But Joe Rogan is very... he swears a lot. But for some reason, he has never offended me by it because I just find him so amusing when he does it. And he doesn't do it... I mean, he does it for emphasis. And
right.
It flows naturally from him. Which... And I know this is jumping around, but I just thought about it. In the article I read about the pain relief when swearing, they did say the one thing that's interesting about it is the more you do it, the less effective it is.
That's true. Yes.
So,
well, it's like
people
if you
swear every other word, you've lost all effect in the words you're using.
Yeah, you've staled it out.
It's just like in school when we tell, you know, kids when they're writing, especially fifth graders, use the word very. That's all they ever use.
Hmm.
It was a very hot day and a very very cool town and a very, very fun person was very pretty. Because that's the only way, you know, and you kind of lose your effect. You can use a very once. After that, you've lost
effect. You got to mix it up. Yeah,
so
yeah.
Throw in a swear word or two. That's what I'm
that's right. Your kids are going to come in. It was a cold day.
Yes. I'll insert a bleep there. All right. Should I delete the places where we said insert? Unwanted bleeps.
So oh yeah, man, you gotta edit that in like crazy, man. I'm a big fan of that.
Maybe if I edit it in correctly, it'll make it sound more intellectual because people won't know what we're actually saying. Like maybe I missed a really good
bleep,
point there.
Bleep out like a 30-second segment. It was just a tirade.
What about if I? How about this? And that's swearing. Now I'll bleep out that whole part. So we start with what is cussing. And that's swearing. It'll just be like a 15-minute
bleep. Examples of you.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
All right, well, I say we move on to our next segment.
Perfect.
Which I guess I will introduce for us. We're going to go ahead and roll with...
What's news?
I have no idea what you found in the news. I found a few articles I found interesting. I think people are going to see my personality because I didn't find... really interesting, you know, deep political world issues. One of mine's about a WWE star.
I was waiting for the payoff there.
Yeah. So, but this is going to be a what's news, and we'll just, do you want to just go back and forth? Sure. How many articles do you have?
I just had a couple of things.
Okay. I'll start. And this, and like I said, maybe, well, I'll just start. I'll just go with it. Tour de France. Did you know that just ended?
I did not. Yeah. I don't pay attention to biking.
I like biking. What I found interesting about it, well, some guy, Vincenzo Nibali, won it.
Sounds he's, athletic,
he's,
yeah.
He's Italian. First time Italy has won in 16 years. Oh. Here's what I found interesting about it, and maybe I could be completely wrong here because I don't look at the news. I don't watch the news. And anytime I'm online, I usually don't read news. I usually read non-news. You know, back in the Armstrong days, America was like, America! You know, we rock! We have a good person in the Tour de France, therefore Tour de France is interesting.
Uh-huh.
We do not have a good... Well, I don't know. I don't know who we had in it, and maybe they... I'm sure they are good, but we didn't win it.
Yeah, sorry, first place American in the Tour de France.
But we didn't win it, and so it's very interesting how... And I guess this is just human nature, but I also feel it's a bit worse with Americans.
Okay.
But we weren't dominating it, so it's not in the news.
You know, I think it's, you can kind of see the same thing with soccer. The yeah. World Cup just yeah. ended, not too long ago anyway, last month. And it was the same thing. America actually fielded a good team. They performed mm-hmm. well. They had some superstars that were really worth watching.
Yeah.
And a lot of people in America were suddenly interested in the World Cup yeah. for the first time. Kind of the same thing.
Yes. And it was, yeah, there it is. Tour de France. Over.
Congratulations. Congratulations. Val Kilmer.
I didn't, yeah.
From Italy.
Do you think he's related?
Maybe so.
To the other Val Kilmer?
What? Why do Italians lose all the time?
I don't know.
We're going to get into stereotypes here, you know.
That's the, well, and this is, you know, for the future, but that was actually one of the things I want to go over sometimes, stereotypes.
Yeah.
Are they as bad as we make them?
Maybe so. Maybe he carbo-loaded on pizza.
Maybe, yeah.
And that was how he won. I never know.
I'm going to try that. I'm going to start carbo-loading all the time. See if I win. What do you got? You
okay, well, my first article, so I have a big focus in finance, too, mm-hmm. An interest of mine. So the S&P 500 is not quite, but it's kissing the 2000 mark for the first time. It'd be an all-time high for the S&P. And really, I wanted to go a little bit deeper because, you know, what does that really mean? You know, that index and all the stock indices are just a composite of the prices of various stocks.
Yeah.
You know... 2,000 or 1,000 or, you know, Dow 17,000 or whatever, they don't really mean anything.
But, at least to most of the population.
But they kind of do yeah. because, you know, the markets are based on what people's actions are. If people sell a lot, then the market goes down. And if they buy a lot, it goes up. So even though those numbers have no real mathematical influence,
yeah.
they have an impact on people's psychology that oh, yeah. influences their behavior. So.
Yes.
It was just interesting to me. I don't tend to speculate, but I thought it was interesting as we get to those highs, how people react.
We'll react to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is shocking to me. I don't know the stock market that well, but it is shocking to me how just the numbers can just change everything.
Yeah.
Completely influence how people feel about our economy and all those things. It just, even on a daily basis, oh, sure. we're doing amazing. Been terrible.
That's right.
Just on a daily basis based off of the numbers they hear on the radio.
That's right. That's yeah. right. So I was born in 1988. So, you know, by the 2007-08 recession was the first time I was really paying attention at okay. all. One thing that's been curious about this downturn is even once the stock market, the S&P and the Dow returned to their pre-crash levels, you know, people were saying this economy, it's as it's so bad.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that's, you know, negativity that's in our generation or if that happened in all the previous ones too. I don't know.
It's, you know, yeah, if I feel that for myself, yes, I'm just, I feel like I'm always just saying our economy's bad.
Right.
You know, it's just the thing to do now. When will I feel that it actually is good?
Right. That's a good point.
Yeah. Maybe we'll talk about that sometime.
So what else you got, Adam?
I've got two more. Should we go with a deep one or a?
Let's dive in. We'll it's see. Almost over. We'll leave the, okay. the audience with something to ponder.
Okay. Well, I've got two. I've got a what I feel is deep. Maybe people are gonna be listening to me and be like, no. And I've got kind of a silly one.
These guys.
I have one more, and then I'll let you finish up. Brian Danielson.
Who is this person?
I don't know, but I know the last name reminds me of Karate Kid.
Okay, Danielson.
That's all I could think about when I read this, aka Daniel Bryan. So he's a WWE wrestler, and apparently for his wrestling name, they just swapped it. His name is Bryan Danielson, and his WWE name was Daniel Bryan.
That's like Clark Kent putting on glasses to, you know. Clark, you're awfully buff, and you've got this red suit underneath it. Don't worry about it.
Get back to work. He is a wrestler, professional wrestler, and I found it awesome because apparently him and his wife, which I think is, according to the article, his wife is also a professional wrestler, showed up, we're out on a date, we're doing something, we're out and about, got home, and there were two burglars in their house.
Ah.
And he
bad idea.
He used his signature move to detain the rear naked choke.
Yeah.
To detain one of the burglars until the police got there. I just thought that was the coolest thing in the world because everybody's like, it's fake, it's not real. And this dude straight up ran after these guys.
Yeah. Well,
detained him.
And he's massive too.
Yeah. And I mean, he probably had some, you know, some of the, just like on the ring, those cables around his house. And so he probably jumped up on one. Jumped off of it.
You got to practice, right?
Tackled this guy, got him in the rear naked choke, and, you know, his wife was probably on his side with a big sign, or maybe a chair that she got and hit the guy over the head. But
yeah, perfect.
I did think it was pretty awesome.
They keep folding chairs. Just that's how they argue.
Around their house.
Actually.
That would be interesting.
Pile drivers. You do the dishes today.
Well, and it's funny because I saw the article, and I was like, that was kind of funny because, you know, he used his quote-unquote, air quotes, you can't see him, fake wrestling to detain this guy. And then yesterday I saw another news article of a gas station clerk who is a MMA fighter.
Yeah.
That stopped a robbery.
There was a pretty,
by going MMA on.
Yeah, there was a pretty famous MMA, like a big time fighter that you'd see like on, you know, on Spike TV or whatever.
Yeah.
On the Saturday night pay-per-view ones. Somebody broke into his house. It was a terrible thing. Don't want to make light of it, but somebody broke into his house and he beat up like 10 guys.
I know.
And just, you know.
I would probably throw nonviolent expletives at them.
That's right.
But I feel their way is probably more effective.
Yeah, certainly. Look, it's hard to outcuss 10 guys.
Yes. Yeah. I'm going to give it a shot, though. All right. End us up. What do you got for
the
last news?
The very last thing I had was a lot of people are talking about the $15 an hour minimum wage.
Yes.
Seattle, Washington, I think, actually went to a $15 an hour minimum wage. So it's kind of a little economic experiment for them. And then a lot of fast food workers are trying to form a union and promote this $15 an hour minimum wage thing. And regardless of whether or not they deserve it, I don't want to discuss that. Regardless of whether or not they deserve it, I think that, you know, fast food places will begin looking at other ways to get those services. I think automation is probably possible. They just haven't done it because of the cost or because they don't want to look bad. But if they're going to be pushed into a corner, then they may do some of those extreme things.
That'll be interesting. What we've talked about before, unintended consequences.
That's
people
right.
Just trying to get some more money out of it, and in the end, they lose their job.
That's right.
Maybe we could discuss unions sometime, or do you want to touch that?
Well, as an aerospace employee, I have very much experience with unions, yes.
Yeah. Anyways, we'll move on. Maybe we'll save that for some time.
Fair enough. So $15 an hour minimum wage, think about it. That's all. We'll just leave that up in the air.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. Maybe we'll come back to it after their experiment has proven good or bad.
That's right. Yep. Yes. Keep an eye on this space.
All right. Do you want to end our first episode?
Yeah. So thank you guys for listening. This has been Self-Proclaimed Intellectuals number one. We've got Adam and I'm Travis. And hope you enjoy the program. Please email in. We'll go ahead and set up a podcast at travislane.com. If you want to email in questions, comments, concerns, angry letters, corrections on grammar, you know, French or Greek history, languages and stuff. Anything you want to send us, we'd be glad to. And if you're the first, we will. We'll send you some sort of t-shirt with our mugs on it.
We might just have drawn them with a Sharpie, but it'll be a t-shirt.
But it'll be something for nothing. So, well, thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.